And hear this scripture, this story that is so familiar to us from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, beginning in verses 8 through 20. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born in this city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
About a week ago, my spouse Dale and son Stephen spent an afternoon at the Air and Space Museum in taking in the IMAX Journey to the Stars. And they came back, would you say, over the moon with excitement. They were full of information that simply astounded them. Some of these wondrous facts. Our universe is estimated to be about 13.7 billion years old, 93 billion light years wide, and contains over 100 billion galaxies, each containing 100 billion stars. Mind-blowing, wouldn't you say? Of course, first you have to understand what a billion really is. It's the number with 9 zeros after it. Just for starters, if the doctor told you that you would have a billion seconds to live, that's 32 years. Or 1 billion pennies would be 87 miles high. Or side by side, a billion pennies would stretch over 6,213 miles. Okay, a little closer to home. The Milky Way galaxy, the home of our solar system, contains between 100 and 400 billion stars, with an estimated 50 billion planets. And the Milky Way is around 100 billion galaxies just in the observable universe. And when you look up at the night sky, every star you see belongs to the Milky Way. We can usually see about 2,500 stars at any one time. but actually the few thousand stars that we're able to view with our naked eye are only, get this, 0.5000003% of the 200 to 400 billion stars that inhabit our planet. How else can we say it? Yes, the glory of the Lord shines around us. But even coming closer to our planet, you may know that the InSight lander successfully touched down on the Mars equator on November 26th after an almost seven-month, 300-million-mile journey from our Earth. And NASA Administrator Jim Bridenstine reported, "Today, we successfully landed on Mars for the eighth time in history. InSight will study Mars." Later, he described how this vehicle had to go from 12,300 miles an hour to zero in 6.5 minutes. And the details, specifics of that landing are incredible to me. Two satellites, about the size of a large briefcase, immediately began sending those photos back 300 million miles to Earth. How can our minds even wrap around the magnitude of that wonder? Yet on our Earth, our real world of experience of wonder and glory comes to me in Elizabeth Barrett Browning's observation. And she writes this: "Earth's crammed with heaven, and every common bash afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes, and the rest just pick blackberries." You know, on that night long ago, but so recent in God's timeline, it didn't take the shepherds long to notice the glory of God. They weren't picking blackberries, but tending their sheep as usual, minding their own business, so to speak, when suddenly that angel appeared to them, and Luke writes, "The glory of the Lord shone around them." If you look for that word glory in the Bible, you get pages and pages. The Hebrew texts are full of that word when it comes to God, and it continues into the gospel depictions of the presence of God. Throughout Scripture, glory often has to do with shining, with light. God is light, and light surrounds us. God's presence, God's strength is with us like a pillar of fire, or the burning bush, or with those angels that brought their singing into the shining. And they sing glory to God. It's praise. And it seems to me it's the only thing that we can actually do in the face of such promise and power. Yet the shepherds weren't part of a praise band, not at the beginning anyway. We know they were terrified, scared, full of fear. And that says a lot about these outcasts, because they were a rough and tumble lot. They had a reputation for being liars and thieves. They were considered unclean by those described by the church people, and they weren't allowed to testify in court. But most of us are aware that in this story, the shepherds are on stage a lot longer than Mary or Joseph, Jesus, or even the angels. And the story just doesn't get told without the testimony of the shepherds, once they are able to speak and move beyond that initial shock. You certainly know that fear can make us all feel on the edge. And if you're jumpy already, anything that wrecks at all of difference or change can feel like a threat. We get hyper aware and on the lookout for bad stuff, stuff we hear about every day, on the news or on our phones, almost everywhere. Dr. Bruce Perry explains, when people are frightened, intelligent parts of the brain cease to dominate. And when faced with a threat, the cortex responsible for risk assessment and actions actually just cease to exist, cease to function. In other words, logical thinking is replaced by overwhelming emotions, which often just puts us into short-term solutions and sudden reactions. I know when I get overwhelmed, I start to enjoy life a lot less. I will admit, along with Marcia McPhee, that I begin to think constantly about how to solve whatever problem there is, whatever is front and center, and I often no longer see the good all around me. And that's what happens to these shepherds. After scaring them to death, you know the angel says, "Don't be afraid. I've got good news." There is another term often used in Scripture for God's presence and strength. It's like, "Hey, over here, don't forget that you are not alone." The angels were about to tell the shepherds that God's presence had just made a landing. Your Savior, not just a Savior. These nobodies were the first to get the good news, those working the night shift. And if good news is for them, the Savior is for everyone. Everyone. And this Savior is the one that continues to shine. The Savior is the one which brings us together and encourages us to share good news well beyond these walls as we work for justice and peace, to be inclusive of all people, as we share cereal and gift cards and Christmas gifts and look up again to marvel at this amazing world that God has created. You know, when I arrived at Arlington Church of the Brethren as interim pastor last February, a meeting was held shortly following my first days to continue the conversation about how we, Arlington Church of the Brethren, and Bethel United Church of Christ might share worship space and our life together. One of those meetings early on focused upon the worship table and the beautiful carving of the Last Supper, based on Da Vinci's famous painting, had been given to Bethel by the Crunkleton family in the 70s and was the center of the worship space at Bethel. Arlington Church of the Brethren members realized the centrality of this piece to our own theology as we recalled the Last Supper and Jesus sharing that meal and washing the disciples' feet. And the conversations we had were detailed as we began to wonder, could we combine our two worship tables into one? So with careful thought and exploration, the idea was presented to Master Craftsman Joe Finney. He brought ideas and estimates to the process, and we each took that concept to our individual congregations. It wasn't easy to simply trust that the glory of the Lord might be shown through this idea. But in August, as many of you know, the cabinet was collected from here at ACOG, and Joe's business began the transformation. It was long and tedious work. It was a work of art, and the project couldn't have been completed without great skill and imagination. And many wondered if it would truly be the right decision. But it was on faith and trust that we believed glory could come from joining ourselves together through God, symbolically through this table. And we waited, and we waited. And then one Sunday in early November, the worship table's light highlighted a story which always gives us pause and points us toward your our Savior. The glory of God is made known as we pass bread among ourselves. And we remember those words spoken. This is my body, broken for you. And this is my cup, poured out for you. And I have set an example that you also should do as I have done. Truly, we are servants to one another and to the world. And I believe God relies on us to share that love and compassion to a hurting world which desperately needs God's glory and love. Glories stream from heavens afar. Marianne Williamson wrote, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate, but our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? For you are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. And it's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same." Kayla McClurg wrote, "The way that produces joy is as it has always been, to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with our God, and to do it together. We do justice together. We love kindness together. And we walk humbly with our God together. Only in the mirror of one another can we see who we really are. Only together will we find the joy of becoming who we are." Now, as we gather in this sanctuary to worship each week, may we be reminded of Jesus' instruction to all of us to leave this space reflecting God's light. So let's stop picking blackberries. Take off our shoes. Share our lights and reflect God's glory. Amen.
My friends, go with God into this day. May the Spirit guide your way. Offer joy to all you greet. Like Christ, see God in all you meet. And may God bless you and keep you as you travel this day. Amen.